Hello and welcome to Be Indie Now, a podcast about independent game development. I'm your host, Tobias Marks, and with me today is Devane Martinez, our first second-time co-host of the show.
What's going on?
Also, Andrew Seligman.
Hello.
And joining via Skype is Jordan Schutz.
Hello.
What's up, Jordan?
So, today I want to talk about college development, or being a college student and being an indie. Specifically, can you be in college indie? Well, that's kind of an obvious question since all three of these people here are indie game developers, at least how I would define it. And you guys have different indie game development backgrounds, so I think it'll be interesting to hear about your experience and what you do. So, Jordan, why don't you start us off and tell us about your company and what you do?
Okay, yeah. So the company I started, it was actually when I was 16 in high school. And I started a company called Ninja Pig Studios. And essentially, I just started off like making games just because I really loved them. And I got my first Android device. And I was just like, wow, you know, I really want to learn how to program on this thing. So I found out about the awesome software called Corona SDK. And I started playing around with that. And I learned how to program in Lua. And I just started communicating on various forums about like how to get help, you know, like because I didn't know how to program, so this was like my first time. And really nice people from the community ended up giving me like assistance, and I ended up meeting up with these people, and I ended up just learning through through the community. And that's basically how I got started. And then I just continued and made some really awesome games, and I've just continued doing it ever since for like the last 3 years. So
awesome. So where do you go to school now?
I'm going to school at UC Riverside.
Cool.
Oh, hey, for, represent.
Oh, what was your major?
Oh, business administration.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. Yeah. What about you, Andrew? Where you go to school? What's your indie development background like?
So currently, I go to Cogswell Polytechnical College. Cogswell College, represent. Yeah.
Yeah.
My major right now. Well, my major software engineering with a focus in game development. In terms of indie development, I wouldn't consider myself an indie developer until maybe last year, and it's kind of been a process for me. Since I started attending Cogswell, it's kind of been drilled into me through going to different kinds of events like the Game Development Conference in San Francisco and being able to network with a bunch of different like-minded developers. And so over time, I started to, you know, make my own games, particularly in Java and right now for the Ouya console that came out. Freshman year, I made a game with a couple friends called Frenzy Frog that never became anything great, but it was just to kind of prove to ourselves that we could actually make a game. And right now, I'm actually the president of Cogswell's Game Development Club. And we've got a team together right now of maybe 12 people, half and half programmers and artists. And we're in the fourth week now, and we're nearing development, I think, in 2 weeks, I think. So very that's cool. Going to be for the Ouya, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, Game Club represent.
Yeah.
I, of course, was the president of the Game Development Club probably... Oh, man, I don't even remember how many years ago.
Like
now I'll have to think
about
that.
Half a decade.
Oh, six. Make me feel old right there. DeVay, you also go to Cogswell College.
I do attend Cogswell College currently. I've been there for the last 3.5 years. Hopefully it won't be too much longer than that. My games I've worked on so far in terms of my indie development was, I guess I can count like Monocle Man as like the first real one. I have made
tell us about Monocle Man.
Oh, you want to talk about that now?
Tell us about Monocle Man.
A brief overview. What is Monocle Man?
Okay, Monocle Man is a 3D platformer all built in Unity. Actually, one of the developers for Team Monocle Man is standing right off camera. We made that for the Global Game Jam in 2011,
yeah,
I believe. Yeah. Got it done in 2 days. That was quite the task. And we ended up, through about a year, polishing it up and then releasing it for the Ouya, which is actually free. It's actually available right now. So by chance you have an Ouya and you want to pick up Monocle Man, it has, I don't know, over 50-some-odd levels, so, and a lot of music.
Really cool. So,
275.
Jordan, okay. Would you say you're more of a coder or a game designer, or producer, business guy? Like, what role would you say you play in the development process? You kind of wear every hat, right?
Exactly. That's what I say. I'm much better at the business side and the marketing side and, like, you know, networking with people. And that's part of the reason why I've been so successful. I wish I knew more about programming. That's what I'm trying to do every day. You know, I'm trying to learn, like, various programming languages and trying to diversify myself. So that's basically what I've been doing.
So would you say that, like, you needed to know code in order to be an indie as a student?
I don't think you do. I think you just have to really want to try to design something and try to make something. And when you really want to figure out how to do something, you will figure out how to do it. You know, you'll do research on the internet, and you'll meet up with people and get their help, and you'd be surprised at how many people are actually willing to help you if you ask.
No, definitely makes sense. Devane, do you do coding at all? Are you a programmer at all, or are you coming from a different side?
I am a very mediocre programmer. I do not know as much as Mr. Seligman over here. I pales comparison. I do know some Python, some Lua. It's not very extensive. I can make, like, the basis of games.
So what is your role when it comes to your development in your game?
It comes to me, it comes to more of the core game design and figuring out how things are supposed to work on paper and in Excel sheets and all that kind of stuff. That's where my expertise really ranges. Mm-hmm. And getting out a build, whether that be visually on a computer, either with existing tools, like, say, like Construct or something like that, or Game Maker, or just doing it right there on the table. That's mm-hmm. really what I expertise in, getting the ideas across, so it's very easy to understand for when somebody actually can program it. They understand, okay, this is how it's supposed to work, and this is what I can understand. I can go reference this if I happen to need some more help on that. That's really where
so
my
most of your development has been in a team.
Yeah,
that makes sense. The game development club is probably very, very commonplace to get other people to, you know, work on your team, right, Andrew? Like, how many students would you say you get? They're regularly 12.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
What's the breakdown of programmers versus designers? I'm kind of curious. Are you getting some more people coming in wanting to design games rather than wanting to program? Do people come in wanting to be the marketing guy?
So that's an interesting question. The thing is in terms of design, designers, you start to wear multiple hats at that point. It's basically you have your production quality. So can you do programming? Can you do art? Can you do sound? And then anyone can be a designer, basically. Don't let anyone tell you that just because you don't have, like, some degree in game design that you can't design a game, basically. The important thing is that you know how to convey your idea to the rest of the team so they can actually produce it. In terms of who we have in Game Club, we have, actually, it's really spread out, evenly. Maybe 5 programmers, 5 artists. There are a couple students who have come in and have been really excited to produce their own game. So maybe 2 people have come in and they've been like, I want to go ahead and make my own game, and here's my idea. But we're all kind of in the learning process of how do we document that? How do we be able to convey that to the rest of the team?
You're getting a lot of people that this is their first time doing any kind of development. You know, they're not even thinking company or profitability or platform or marketing. They're just
kind of doing it because you want to.
I think I want to make games.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you wanted to when you first started to school? I want to make games. Did you know that going into college?
No, absolutely not. When I first came to college, I was excited in this partnership that we had had with Boeing, but I had gotten some misinformation,
Lord.
So we couldn't actually make that happen. So I was more excited in, like, robotics. That was my background back in high school. Mm-hmm. But over time, I was more excited about doing games, and I got involved with the club, and that's how it kind of snowballed from there.
So your first game that you made was in college?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. I had played around with like RPG Maker before, I mm-hmm. guess, and my brother and I had always had this like dream to make the best like RPG ever, and so we'd spend like 6 years of our lives like writing out this story that just hasn't come to fruition yet, but it will someday.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever heard about that. I wanna sit down and hear you explain that idea.
Yeah,
very cool. What about you, Jordan? So you wanted to develop at 16. You got this Android device. You wanted to make cool things for it. Did gaming call to you specifically because you thought games would sell well and they were cool, or you just wanted to make apps? Like, where are you coming at it from a game development standpoint?
So for me, it was just like, okay, so I got this Android phone and I was playing these other games like Angry Birds and stuff, and I'm like, okay, so how can I do that? You know, I wanted something where I can take it to school and show my friends, like, hey, check this thing out, you know, I made this myself. And I didn't even know at that point you could make money off mobile games, because everything I saw, it was all free. So, like, I was completely naive to the fact that you could even make anything, right? So I was just doing it for fun. So it took me at least a year to actually get good at programming, like, and actually making, like, games. And I made, like, you know, tons of little sample things. And, like, in the beginning for me, it was just about downloads. Like, I would go in and tell my parents, I'd be like, oh my gosh, guess what? So like last week, I got 100 downloads on my game. And it was like the biggest deal. And I made no money, but it was just because people actually downloaded it, you know? So that's what was cool for me in the very beginning. And that's what basically made me want to continue doing it. And then when I found out you could make money, you know, after meeting all these other awesome people in the community and seeing what they were doing and seeing that they were actually making money off their games, I'm like, wow, you know, maybe I can do that. Maybe my games would be good enough to actually make some money for it and help pay for school. So that's like what I did.
So when you're doing your game development, do you approach the game as, oh man, I really want to get this cool game idea out there, and then money comes second? Or are you thinking, what kind of app/game would make me money as a company? Are you thinking more of that business end or the creative end? What comes first?
Okay, so at first, it was all creativity. You know, my first, like, you know, all my apps were very creative, you know. And then, you know, once I found out how much money, like, then I started making a lot of money off these games, right? And so then I was thinking, well, how can I make a really, really awesome game and have it sell really, really well? And I did that, and I don't think my creativity lacked because of that. I was more money-oriented, like, okay, how can I market this to people and make them want to download my game and make a lot of money off it? And when I ended up doing that, I actually put a lot more time into my things instead of just, you know, quick releasing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're mutually exclusive at all, trying to actually sell a game and make it popular and make money with it.
You know what's funny is that when the Team Monocle had finally finished all the work on Monocle Man and we released it to the Ouya, I remember that some of the core team members, like Aaron and Caleb Grace, who's a musician, kept checking the downloads. And I believe, like, by the first month, we had, like, a couple thousand downloads. And that felt – man, oh, it was 10,000 downloads. That
just
was
pretty good.
That
for
was
Ouya.
An amazing feeling. Like, I had no idea that 10,000 people could play a game that I had a hand in.
I think one of the more exciting things about it, and I'm not even on the team, but I was excited for Aaron because he came to me and he was like, someone did a let's play of our game, and he reviewed the game, and I was like, oh my gosh, it got out there, and you actually get to see someone playing something that you made.
Yeah, and I wasn't even worried about the money at that moment. I was like, I could care less about it. I couldn't care at all. Like, I really couldn't.
It's incredibly motivating for a student to know that I can make something and someone actually might enjoy it. And, you know, a lot of people, like Jordan, they're just coming to the development from I'm just going to throw this up there for my own self. And to realize that other people out there want to see that work and want to play games, the community responds really, really positively to indie games, especially in the mobile ecosystem. You know, maybe in desktop games, people are like, oh, I don't want to download this random game. You kind of have to have a little more level of polish, a little more publicity. But if you just throw up a game on the App Store and you have your friends play it, it can really, really grow just naturally. And that can turn into a profitable business.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it should be. I think if you're a college student and you want to like learn how to program, you want to learn how to make your first game, you should 100% not even think about money. Just do it for your own personal satisfaction. And obviously, I mean, getting the, what did you say? You got 10,000 downloads. I mean,
yeah.
Just like feeling like, wow, 10,000 people downloaded my game. Like, that's what you should, you know, feel. You should just be super happy. And that's really a great accomplishment. You know, even if you don't make money, you can still put that on a job resume. That's still something amazing that did.
Yeah, ship title.
And that not many people have done.
Yeah, it definitely looks good on a resume.
I'd high five you if I could. So just.
Well, I mean, speaking of a resume, I have a question for all you guys. Do you want to be indie developers when you're done with college? Like, seriously, indie development is great, and doing full-time indie can happen. You can make money with it, and you can be full-time indie. But do you want to just get a job and have those health benefits and have that stability? Is that what is the, is indie a goal towards a job or something that you're doing while in college? Well, what about you, Andrew?
I think
start off
for me. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently as I near senior year of college. I'd like to start out being indie on the side, if that makes sense, and kind of have maybe do internship. I have an internship coming up next semester. Maybe start a full-time job, but still do indie on the side and kind of still be able to support myself, but still experiment in this kind of community. And yeah, definitely one day I'd like to end up being an indie developer. I'd like to be able to have the creativity and the means to produce what I want, you know, freely and be able to make a living off of it. But I mean, starting out, I think it's a little difficult because I don't exactly have the funding for a company. I don't exactly have all the time in the world. So it's where I'd like to end up. But right now I'm kind of veering on the safe side.
Fair enough. What about you, Devane?
So, I'm going to get a little existential here. The goal I had back even before I even heard about Cogswell, and even before I really wanted to make games, was I wanted to be able to make an experience for another person in terms of a game somehow. I didn't know how I wanted to do it at the time that I felt when I completed Final Fantasy X. Because after the cry fest that I had, no spoilers, I looked at the credits all like through the whole way, and I'm like, these guys are the ones that made me feel this way, and I thank every last one of them. And I wanted to be able to get that way, and I thought to myself, oh, I'd have to, you know, end up having to do all this programming, you know, how to be like the best of the best and whatnot, and go work for a company. So in the back of my mind during that time, like when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I should go work for a company. But now after going through Cogswell and seeing the process and learning so much in the last 3 years, I've come to that kind of decision where I'm like, I would love to be able to work for a AAA company, like a really one that has, like, you know, as you said, health benefits and have a you know, paycheck and whatnot. But I would not want to stay there forever. And by forever, I mean, I would not want to dedicate my entire life to, say, you know,
Square Enix.
Well, any big company that makes, you know, billions of dollars.
You want to have control over your own creativity.
Yes. I mean, I would love to be able to give all of what I have to a certain company that makes very great games on a consistent basis. But at some point, I would like to step back. Not because of money, but because I feel like to get to the goal that I want to help somebody, that one kid who's in his house playing games alone, who I want to give that same feeling to, these days that we grow forward, it won't be just AAA games. I'll need to dip my hands into other means to be able to attain that goal. So I want to see if I'm going to be able to have that experience being in the AAA industry, trying to see if I can achieve it there. If I don't achieve it there, and even if I do, I want to step back and see if I can do it in an indie development type of role. And if I can't or do it there, then maybe I can go back to AAA and go back and forth. I don't have a bias towards.
Well, Andrew has a point that you can do both. You can have your indie development in addition to AAA. It's, you know, a question of, you know, you can do one or the other or both, and both is a very acceptable answer. Jordan's in a very unique situation because you were an indie developer before college. So I'm kind of curious to hear, what do you think you'll do after college?
Yeah, so part of the reason why I'm getting my business degree is so I can basically start my own company and, you know, manage people. And like when I leave in 2 more years and graduate, I'm planning on just going and getting my associate's in computer science because – like really what, or get like my minor in computer science or something, because really what a lot of companies are a lot of companies, they have business people, right? And then a lot of companies have these brilliant computer scientists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of companies that have really good business people and people that know programming. And I think that's really important, because if you know both aspects, you can, you know, make realistic deadlines. You know, you can you understand where the programmers are coming from. Mm-hmm. If they're like, you know, I can't finish this in 2 weeks, you know, this isn't doable. So I'm getting that, so I have kind of a backup plan, you know, in case, like, you know, I start a family and all that, you know, way down the road. That way I can work for a big company and make good money doing it, because I can be in an upper level position managing engineers. But like, when I get out of college, I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. You know, there are so many opportunities open for me right now. You know, I could start my own company and do that. But the hard part for me is I have to find that need for something. Like, if I see a need for, like, let's say, you know, some startup company, like some scalable backend solution or some, you know, game software that I want to make that I think can make a lot of money, I'm going to do it. But if I don't see that need, I don't see a problem with working at a company and then seeing that need later, you know, when I'm working at that company for 3 years. Maybe I'll find something that I'm like, you know, why doesn't this company just do this, you know? And then the manager's like, oh, yeah, you know, we should have came up with that a long time ago. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I think, like, it's part of the...
When I find that idea, I'm going to execute it if I can.
Yeah, I think what the great thing about the indie revolution, and especially with this new modern ecosystem, is people can switch companies often. I mean, you see so many people in AAA companies going indies. You see indies becoming AAA companies. We're kind of past that era where you graduate college and you start working with one corporation and you'll work there for 10 years. People are more mobile now. Year to year, they might be different. 1 year to AAA, 1 year to indie, and that's fine. It'll go back and forth, especially if your focus is games industry, because it works, you know, a bit like the movie industry, where it's project based a lot of the time. But you also bring up a good point with your business degree and how that gives you a competitive advantage. You don't really hear a whole lot of business CS majors. I've heard of people doing, you know, lawyers or law degrees with CS or with engineering and being a patent lawyer or something like that, focused on a specific area. But business development is something that a lot of people seem to forget. Tell me a bit about, like, starting your business and what you had to learn to go through to set that up. Was it a huge hassle to set up your company, or was it easy? Did you read books?
I just did research, and I talked to my parents, because both of my parents have their own companies. But I, you know, it wasn't that difficult, but I think it gets really difficult when you start having to hire people and having to manage finances, and, you know, you have all these things that you have to monitor, plus you have to figure out how to market the product, you have to know the right people. So I think overall, I mean, there's such a need, especially at big companies. You need someone to manage a team of engineers. Like, luckily for me, I'm my own engineer, right? I'm doing all the coding, I'm doing all the graphic art, I'm doing all the marketing and all that. But if I actually want to have, like, a company that I think I could, you know, make millions off, I'm going to need a team of people, and I'm going to need to know how to manage those people and keep track of everything and get venture capital and all that.
So, Andrew, for your, you know, development with the Game Club, you have like a 12-person team. Mm-hmm. But you don't have any of that legal paperwork. You're not dealing with any of contracts. You're not dealing with those fundings. Is that a good thing? Like, are you setting yourself up for some, you know, major disaster down the line if people get upset? Are you just, like, resigned to never making money with whatever you guys make?
What do you mean by people getting upset?
Well, you know, say you make an awesome game and it goes out in the store and some large company wants to buy you guys for $100K. What happens? Who gets what money? How does it split? You know, what kind of... There's a lot of potential situations where all that stuff that Jordan brings up, that's why that's so important. But I see a lot of students like yourself not worrying about it. And that's fine when you're releasing free games, but I don't know. What's your opinion?
I don't believe that we're setting ourselves up for failure. It's like anything in life. If you don't practice it, then, and it blindsides you, then yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. If there's comes a time where we want to develop a game that we'd actually like to release as a paid game on a market, I think it would be great experience to do it, especially in college, because that's the time to fail. That's the time to fall on your face before, you know, you really mess up in the real world in a AAA company, and then your job and your, you know, your job's on the line.
So do you see yourself actually setting up a company of some sort, a partnership or sole proprietorship, or do you feel like you can, as long as you can just get it on the store, that's all that matters?
That's a good question. I think for me personally, it's more important to make a name for myself and get into the market at all. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in general, people are kind of deterred, the idea behind the Ouya system is that everything's free to play. So if someone sees like a mostly paid game on the Ouya market, they're probably not going to try it. But if we go ahead and make a free game, then, you know, there's more chances that people are going to try it and possibly love it. But I feel like it's a first step. Like, you make a free game first and then go ahead and try your hand with a paid game once people kind of know you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the path that I'm on right now.
How do you get 12 people involved in your development? Is it a matter of all 12 are just so passionate about development and the project? Like, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. Some people are like, oh, I need some kind of reward.
Okay,
right?
We can talk ages.
I'm so happy to answer this question.
Me and him can talk ages about this topic. First, Andrew.
I'll go first and I'll pass it over to Devane. Now, Game Club, historically, when my year started up in summer, we didn't have that much momentum, and so all we really wanted to do was go ahead and enter the Liberated Pixel Cup competition, which is a free 2-month competition where the first month you do the art and the second month you do the programming, or vice versa, I don't remember which one. But it didn't happen this year. We aimed for it, and then we were like, oh, well, the competition's not happening, let's aim for IGF, which is in the middle of October. So when we had started up, we started with 3 designers, I believe, me and 2 other people. And we were like, oh, so what manpower do we need? And none of us had really had that much experience in terms of leading a game. So we were kind of guessing at this point. And so we were like, oh, we're going to need some artists under this lead artist that we have. So we discussed and we brought, I think we ended up with 15 people. It was a really big project. If it's a small project, don't make it that big. It's unnecessary to have that many people.
Yeah, 15 people is hard to manage.
Especially if you have no experience in terms of managing a project.
15 people to the point where you actually need an HR person.
It's ridiculous, yeah. So over time, this project, and we had a postmortem about this, and the thing that we took away was that you can't mix design of your game with production of your game. You can't start, you can't get a team together and tell them, okay, everybody, all the artists need to make this, all the programmers need to start programming that, if you don't know what the game is. That's just ridiculous. Then you bring these people onto the team and they're like waiting around for your decisions, but you don't even know what you're doing. So they get bored and then they start to leave the team, and that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So we didn't dwindle down to the 3 lead people, and we'd gone through several iterations of who was in charge of the team. But it ended up dying because the design was never fully finished. Now, Tobiah had come and talked to us at Cogswell, and he had inspired me to drop the project because it turns out failing is good. And like he said that early on the day, and he was like, failing is good. And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. I don't even want to believe you right now.
No, failure is absolutely good. Failure is wonderful when you're first learning, because I mean, failure just means you're trying something, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's something that's failed and you keep working at it, it's not going to get better. It's better to just, you know, jump on a new project.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, sometimes projects can reinvent itself. I know Devane, like Monocle Man, was in development for a long time before it actually got released.
2 years, was it?
Yeah, 2 years.
Okay, 2 years, apparently.
Working on this game, like, off and on, like, how did you keep people wanting to work on it?
Well, okay, so I can't speak too much for the latter half of the Monocle Man process, because I was on the audio side. Mm-hmm. Aaron Weingarten would be a more apt person to talk about the Monocle Man side of things. But from what I observed and also being part of the team, it really wasn't terribly difficult for everybody to get together, because we cared about the project. Like, everybody on the team had a hand in it when we first made the build for Global Game Jam. And we all knew that this game had potential with, you know, having the 3D build made within, you know, 2 days. We're like, if we can do this, you know, polish should be a cinch, which ultimately it kind of wasn't, since it, the development time was more held back because of other projects and classes and other things in life and whatnot. But it was not terribly difficult to process. What I could talk more a little bit about in terms of how the process was about the project that Andrew was talking about, because I was actually the producer mm-hmm. on the project, about maybe a fourth through the actual life of the of what we call Project Z. When I had came on, it was a team of about six, seven people.
Yeah, about.
About six, seven people. And then we added the couple more people to make it 15. And at that time, they didn't have a design doc. They didn't really have – they had an idea, and I understood a bit of it, but they didn't really have anything that people could reference to. So a good 3-4 months was dedicated to getting that going. And me being a producer, I was trying to get it to the people who really had the ideas, which was about two people. One of the lead designers, and Andrew, overtook that role, and it took much long time because he had the role of the – lead programmer. The other person was just kind of lax on deadlines, so it was very tough. So for those 4 months we were creating assets, but ultimately all the things that we created in terms of art and audio never got even put into the final build. A lot of them didn't get put into the final build. We ended up using stock art and whatnot just for the game, and even though we I think we still have the build
and
left.
Like the final prototype,
yeah.
You see.
Yeah, yeah, we have the final
prototype. It never actually made it to a market.
No, it never did, and it's so unfortunate that it didn't, because the idea, although very ambitious, and me and Andrew really loved it, it was way too much to handle, and under the dedication that it would take, not only on my part to lead the team, parts of the team, and for the dedication for those who are working on it, it was just not going to be there, and it was just kind of doomed to fail from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to do ambitious things, but I definitely think that was probably the main problem, where you just need to reduce your scope, you know, focus on fewer people. I know, Jordan, I think that's one of your strengths. Your development times have been, you know, far less. What do you think your average development time for an app is? Weeks, months, a couple months?
It all depends, but yeah, like the more complex stuff, I would say like maybe a few months.
And you're mostly yourself, right? And you hire a couple contractors.
I've never hired.
Oh, really? So you've done it. You've always been solo.
100% of the games.
So you do
all
your
stuff,
visuals, all the audio.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Okay. Wow.
So how do you think that is, like, compared to these guys? Right. That's a very different experience. Like, how does that development go for you?
Well, okay, so it goes great for me. I mean, there are challenges because when you don't have other people that, like, you're hiring, it's hard to get other, like if you're, like, stuck on a programming, you know, concept and you just can't figure it out. You know, it's really hard to figure out what to do. Luckily, like I was saying before, there are really helpful people in the community that have helped me out, you know, with my various questions, which that's been really awesome. But the thing is, like, in their situations, right, like you said, there's 12 people in your team, like, that's excellent. You know, like, having that many people is really cool because, you know, if there's a problem, you know, there's tons of people that can help you solve it. The downside is, okay, so let's say we release it and we make, you know, $1,000. Okay, so now we have to split that up and everyone's gonna be able to buy dinner for a few nights. You know, it's not that much money, and then you have to deal with the taxes, so it ends up becoming not worth it because you didn't make a lot. Now if you make, you know, 20 million, that might be worth it. But also, like, let's not talk about the money, but let's talk about, like, the creativity. So, like, you start out with, like, an idea and you have it in your head, right? But then your other team member wants to change that idea and you don't necessarily agree that that would, you know, be the best for the project. So now you have to compromise with your team member and be like, well, you know, yeah, I agree, you know. You know what I mean? It just becomes kind of a hullabaloo, and you can have bad relationships because of that, because there's not, like, one set person in charge. It's just everyone kind of doing it together, which can lead to problems.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that you would rather work with someone else yourself? Like, if you had someone who is in a position like you, who had skills that complemented your talents, maybe they knew programming or art, or they are also a jack of all trades, would you want to go into business with somebody, or do you think that you prefer having that solo development?
I personally would love to have someone to go into business to if there was something that I could not do on my own. The reason I would never want to start out with more than two people, because I think that having more than two people, it just creates, you know, a lot of conflict in terms of just everything about the business. I personally like doing it myself because I have complete control. I have the final say, and I can just release it, and I get my paycheck, and it's done. You know, I don't have to worry about it. With another person, it's a little bit harder, but see, like, the thing is, if they're an amazing programmer and I'm excellent at, you know, the marketing and all that, and, you know, we can work really well together, I say do it, you know, go for it. You know, that's an excellent thing, you know, and I'm assuming you guys have kind of the same thing going for you. I know Tobiah, you know, did that with his games. And
yeah, I started my first company out of college.
Yeah, and it ended up working out well.
It's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, Bonja still exists.
We're three people now. We've expanded.
Yeah.
150%.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, man.
So in terms of who you begin a team with or go into partnership with, go into business with, it really is like a relationship. You have to choose your people. You can't just be like, oh, I seem like a good artist, and I kind of, let's work together and see where it goes. Well, like Jordan says, if there ends up being problems along the pipeline and there are disagreements, well, just like in Fez, right? They had a big idea, and then early on in development, they split off. And the game, you know, as Fez right now is Phil Fish's idea, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some legal percentage.
There's
a lot.
So
of
I mean,
I don't think we're fully exposed there's specific internal arguments there. But that is a good example of how. I mean, no one goes into a business partnership thinking, "Well, yeah, we're going to bicker about the money later on, right?" Yeah. Just because no one goes into a marriage thinking that they're going to get divorced,
right?
But 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah, I heard somewhere. I don't remember what it's called, but I mean. don't get into a relationship, don't get into a partnership without discussing things early on. Don't be like, let's work on this now, and any problems that come, you know, we'll deal with them as they come, because it's just going to end in chaos later. But there have been good examples with me personally and Devane. Devane and I are on a team with one other man, and we've, in terms of ideas and in terms of the direction that we want to take this game that we're working on right now, it's been fairly smooth sailing. One of us is mostly designated as, you know, the lead producer, but we're all kind of producers in a sense, or designers rather. And if one of us has a question about the game, you know, the way it should be, we kind of present it to the rest of the team, and then we each have an opinion, and it's like a mini design meeting, and then we come up with a decision, and then we go on from there. So if you choose the right people and it's, you know, like-minded folk that you're with, you know, it can work really well, and I'm really happy with the team that I'm on right now. If it's, and I was going to bring this up earlier, if it's a team with lots of people, 12 people, like, are on this game club team right now, and no one knows how to design anything, but they're all idea guys. So they'll bring up the idea, but, you know, they don't know how to produce it or don't actually have the wherewithal to want to do it. Be the lead designer yourself. That's what I did with this game. So after we dropped Project Z, I was really excited and really pumped to get this next game going, because it was like, you know what, I'm just going to have this idea solidified, bring it to club, and then we're going to get it on the road. And that's exactly what happened. So I had drawn up a three-page game design doc. Any questions you would have, you look at the doc and it would answer it. The game is a two-player battle arena where you fire rockets at each other and it's a sudden death match. And I brought this to club and explained exactly what it is, had a full list of assets that I would need from the artists, and I basically brought everyone onto the team without asking them if they wanted to do it or not, because the goal wasn't to have a great game. It was to make a terrible game. So anything that we did greater than terrible would be a bonus. So
You're shooting for at least terrible.
At least okay. At least terrible.
Phrase, like, oh, you gotta shoot for the moon, and then, you know, you land.
And then
the
anything
stars,
else, exactly.
Whatever, right?
So, you know, the universe is an easy place to land in. So,
yeah.
You know, there, all the artists are new. So any assets that they produce,
most
they would
of the
at least,
artists are new.
Oh, that's true. We do have a couple. You know, Devane. But we 2 weeks in, all the art was done. It was so funny, the first meeting I presented the idea, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to the artists and give them all their tasks, and they chose their own tasks, so they were liable for it. But I was talking to the artists, and then on the other side of the room, because I split them up, were the programmers, and they were already discussing like how they were going to do the infrastructure for this game, because most of them were already experienced, and then the ones who weren't so experienced were kind of following along and learning that way. So it's an interesting way to kind of, you know, learn how to program by watching over someone's shoulder. Well, it's much better to do it yourself. But
yeah, I mean, I think that from a learning standpoint, it sounds really, really great what you guys are doing, because, you know, the students are probably like learning a lot, and you're able to kind of, okay, whatever they don't know how to do, I'm just going to take ownership and do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I love the variety of the panel here. I mean, between you two and Jordan, you're both all three of you are college students, but you have really different takes on being an indie developer. You have different attitudes towards the business side. You have different attitudes towards what's important. If I need, you know, lots of a large team, don't care about the money, to thinking about the marketing and, you know, long-term plans. And really, I just love that both of those work, and both of them, like, you can make games and you can be indie. That's what's so great about it.
And actually, right, speaking on that, Jordan, something I want to say for last 10 minutes is that your ambition to get a business degree along with a programming degree is amazing. Mm. There are many people at Cogswell who have this idea that they can be the best at game design or programming but know nothing about the business side and be successful. And you are younger than – how old are you, by the way?
19.
You're 19. I just
Such
turned
jealous.
21 yesterday, and there are people who are
Happy
almost
birthday,
five.
By the way.
Yeah, thank you. There are people who are like at least 4 or 5 years older than me, and they still haven't figured this out. So you are so ahead of the game, dog. So ahead. So I commend Thanks. You for being able to figure that out. And also to add to what Andrew was saying about working with people, it is an amazing thing when you can go out to lunch with your fellow developers and be able to converse and just have a good time and even, you know, have disputes and whatnot. But I feel it's not having that. And the third thing, which I love, is that when I show a fellow developer my work and they have bad things to say about it, like they have some constructive criticism that they said, I don't like this, and this is how I think it could be better. I love when they say that kind of stuff, because mm-hmm. it gives me an outlet to improve the stuff that I already thought was maybe good, and keep iterating on it and see if comparatively the differences. When you have that kind of dynamic on a team who can praise your work and also put your work down, oh, it's an amazing, amazing thing.
Well, I think that's also key too for why you want to be an actual indie. It's not just, oh, I'm going to make a game and then keep it on a hard drive. You go through the process of getting it in front of other people, whether that is getting it out on Ouya, going out on Android or other mobile platforms. You get it in front of other people, and they can play it themselves, and they can give you feedback on it, and you can improve yourself as a developer. And just, it's a really great experience, and I'm glad all you guys are doing it. So to wrap up the show, I like to talk about games playing lately. I've been playing Card Hunter. I think it's cardhunter.com.
Oh, Card Hunter. You sent that to me.
It's so interesting. It's like a tabletop card game, but it's a video game representation of a tabletop card game. But it's like a game that can only exist online.
Virtually.
Yeah. Like you get items, and then each item gives you cards in your guy's deck, and it's very interesting. The art style is fantastic. I'm having a ton of fun with it.
That game gets hard later.
Yo, yeah, it gets hard pretty quick.
Oh, but some of the first couple of levels are just like, oh, God, I'm not. This is kind of a hard time with this.
Yeah, it's very strategic based. I played a lot of D&D, though, so it's like, yeah, I know this. So what have you been playing lately, Devane?
Oh, wow. I've been doing a lot of class and other work in terms of playing games.
Too busy to play games is a fair answer.
No. But I have played one game that my buddy Juan Ho had introduced me to. What was the title?
Burrito Lucha?
Was it Brizet?
I think it was Burrito Lucha. Burrito, was the running game?
Yeah.
Or the train game?
No, the running. It was a couple. It was the wrestler guy.
Yeah.
So, I forget the name of the guy. I believe it's Burrito Lucha.
Something like that.
But the sequel, there was a sequel made by Adult Swim Games, and it is such a fun game because a lot of people play the games where you launch yourself forward and you have to keep the momentum going and get points of how many things you hit or how long you can go. Love those types of games. They envelop a big chunk of my life, and I played them a lot back when I was in middle school on sites like Newgrounds and whatnot. So they were fun, and that's like the last game I remember playing that was very enjoyable, and I played it for a good 5 hours.
Cool. What about you, Andrew? What are you playing?
Fez.
So
I had a 2 week span where I was obsessed with Fez. I downloaded it.
I don't think it ended yet.
It's still going. I'm still obsessed with it. It'll last for months. But I downloaded it from the Humble Bundle, and I installed it. I was like, I've heard good things about this.
Have you seen a documentary?
I had the Indie Game, the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, more than us combined.
Absolutely. Maybe three times. I got to meet
that
Ed in
movie
person.
Is very inspiring.
Yeah,
it is.
It really gives you a good perspective on, the lives of indie developers and how they actually function and feel throughout the pipeline.
Yeah.
But in terms of Fez, it's just, I think Phil Fish gets a lot of bad rep, but I really like him. I love how creative he was, how detailed he was in terms of where everything's placed. And he was going through his process in the documentary, and it was I went through seven iterations with this one tile, and I had to do it until it was just right. So his attention to detail is amazing, and I love the puzzles and just everything about it. Gomez is cute.
Yeah, that gave it a taste of it to perfectionists everywhere. Somebody perfectionists like him never released products.
Yeah.
So it took him... How many years?
I think 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years at least. That game took forever.
Yeah. It was just him and one other person, though.
Yeah, Renaud.
Yeah, Renaud.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Jordan? Playing any games lately?
Oh, yeah. I'm playing games all the time because in order to make good games, you have to play a lot of games.
Absolutely. True words have never been spoken.
Amen.
Yeah, so... But the thing is, I play mostly one game. I play what my friends play, and I've been playing League of Legends for the past year, and that's what I play. It's really fun. I don't know if you guys have ever played it before. It's like a MOBA, kind of Dota,
into
Warcraft 3.
League of Legends is insanely popular right now, and also really good. It's an indie game. It's free to play, but it's not the kind of free to play where, it's that Farmville style where you have to constantly pay to move up to the next level. All of its mechanics are optional to pay for, right? You can buy skins, you can buy other things. So, and yet it makes millions of dollars. Like, it is very big business now. It counts as
I've
AAA.
Yeah, I've played it. I'll leave
have
it
you?
At that. I have played it. We can talk about this a little later because I know we're running a little bit of time, but I've played it. I'll leave it at that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you guys very, very much for being on another episode of Be Indie Now. If you want to find more episodes about the show, you can go to beindienow.com. If you want to learn more about me, you can find me at tobiamarks.com or at tobiamarks on Twitter. Where can we find more about you, Devane?
Oh, well, I don't have a website, but if you want to contact me for any reason, I've got a Twitter handle. I'm at Devane Martinez, D-A-V-A-I-N. So ask me some questions or, shoot me a picture of a cat or something. I don't know.
Cool.
I'm working on a website for myself right now, but if you want to access anything that the club's up to, you can go to gamedevelopmentclub.com.
Nice plug for the club.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that as a former president.
Oh, yeah, actually, by the way, I've been watching the recent episodes. We still don't have little dangle that comes up above our heads or any text or anything. It's coming. Our producer says it's coming, so it's coming.
Here?
I'm just asking to see where it is. Just wondering.
Hey, we're learning how to make a show as we make it here.
It's
my experience
show.
Is not in media here.
It's an amazing show, and I'm honored to be on it.
All right.
I used that line last time.
Jordan, why don't you tell us all about Ninja Pig and where we can find more?
Pretty much you just search Google for Ninja Pig Studios, at Twitter, at Ninja Pig Studios. There aren't many other results that come up, so it's easy to find me.
Cool. You got any other companies and websites you want to plug? Twitter handle?
No, I mean, I made a website for my college professor, and that's completely unrelated, and they're using it in their class.
But, fair enough.
Other than that.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, thank you guys all very right. much, and go out there and make some games.
Yes. Do it.
Woo!